Hi, I'm Nick Marino, and tonight I'm joined by Sean Atkins, Jessica Heberle.
Hello.
Hello.
To, in case you missed that, I'm joined by Sean Atkins.
Oh,
Jess, did I say your last name right?
Yes, you did, actually. Thank you.
That was sort of like my natural instinct was to say Heberle, but I was never 100% sure because it's like, you know.
A lot of people say Heberle, and drives me crazy.
I guess that would be like the French way to say it, maybe. So, Jessica, you're an illustrator, a cartoonist, a zine maker, and I would love to hear in your own words the type of work that you do, and feel free to even say where people can find your work online.
Oh, okay. Well, right now I'm actually working on kind of a more personal project, and I also do like little videos and installations and but mostly right now I'm working on kind of a semi-autobiographical piece called The Wake Up, and I've been working on it a lot but not posting it a lot. And so you can find it. Well, actually you can't find it yet because I haven't been posting anything. But let me find my website here, and it's just Jessica Heberle, Heberle dot tumblr.com. So that shows you some of my work. But yeah, that's what I've been working on.
Cool. And the reason why we got you on this podcast is because today we're going to discuss, and this is, and what's really funny is that Dan Greenwald was supposed to be here to join us for this episode, but he's wallpapering his bathroom or something like that, or this bedroom or whatever. And so he's not here, but he suggested the topic, and it's about art support groups, specifically groups that are supporting cartoonists, because that's what we're talking about here on Sequential Underground. And Jessica runs an artist group in Pittsburgh. It's not a cartoonist specific group, but it does have a lot of cartoonists in it just because, well, you know, that's who her friends are and that's who she knows and that's who shows up to it. And what we want to find out on this episode through deeply exploring our personal experiences, do these groups help us? If so, how are they helping us? And do we ever feel like they're not benefiting us at all? I sort of ended that sentence incorrectly on an up note. I should have brought it down to make it seem like I was putting closure on that idea. So yeah, Sean, how do you like Jessica's artist meetup? By the way, she's not on the call, so she can't hear anything you're saying right now.
Oh, I wish there was more beer and a free buffet, preferably with like little bacon wrapped hot dogs. Bacon wrapped hot dogs.
Nice. And I
I mean, I love it a lot. It's actually really fun.
It is good. It's one of the things I miss most about not being in Pittsburgh because they were really fun meetings to go to just from like a social standpoint. So that was cool.
Oh.
Yeah, I generally like going to artist meetups. I feel like I get a lot more out of that than any other function that is like a monthly thing. Not that I'm trying to sound like, I hope that didn't sound like a diss to anyone that's listened that runs shit, but you know, I get a lot more coming to artist meetup than I do anything else, which is great.
It's cool to have one that's interdisciplinary. Sometimes when you end up at these meetings, for example, the National Cartoonist Society meetings that I used to go to in Pittsburgh.
Do you mean the luncheons?
Yeah, the lunches.
Yeah.
They're fun to go to, but everybody does the same thing. So there's not that much of like an exploration of, you know, how is this individual approaching their medium and like, you know, what does it mean? How does it translate to what I do? It's more like specific technical talk or kind of just like gossip about like other cartoonists and stuff like that, which is cool. But at least at artist meetup, you know, you can be like, well, how is a painter approaching something? How can I take that away and learn how to apply that to comics?
Actually, I was kind of getting more like a click feel from that luncheon. I like going to those luncheons, don't get me wrong, but it always seems like once we're all there and sitting, it seems like we kind of break off in our own factions. It's usually like the guys that been around for like 20 years and they all gossip about like, you know, print talk. And then it's like, you know, the younger guys and gals just kind of like sitting around and, you know, talking about whatever's happening in the streets.
Literally, the streets.
Because we're a roaming gang of cartoonists that snap our fingers. We're against the Jets.
Well, Jess, I think ever since your second meetup, which is where it started to host at Assemble, correct?
Yeah.
And Assemble, for people who don't know, is an artist space or in an artist collective. I don't know the exact words to use, but it's an art group in Pittsburgh, and it has a physical location as well. And Jess, you've been running these things for, what, like 2 years now?
Well, I mean, it started with the whole thing started with Fleeting Pages. Initially, I found an ad, and Jody Morrison, who was setting up Fleeting Pages, I met with her, and I just really liked her. I liked what she was talking about doing, and that was kind of her whole idea, was to get people to be involved in this space and to have, you know, share artists' work and to create this sort of community. And she asked me if I wanted to put something on, and I was trying to come up with an idea of what to do, and I ended up doing the artist meetup, and Andy Kehoe was the first person who came to speak, and he's one of my favorite artists. So it really started with kind of Fleeting Pages, actually.
Which was a really cool pop-up bookstore in the month of May 2011. Or yeah. Maybe it was June 2011. I can't remember now. May or
it
June
was
2011.
May going into June.
Okay. And it was just 1 month in an old Barnes & Noble space, and it turned into an awesome community – or Borders, thank you. It turned into an awesome community-driven bookstore for this 1 month, and then it was gone. And it sort of sucked that it left because it was right down the street from me, and they had so many incredible events packed into a one-month space of time that I wish that could have just stayed there forever.
It really was. It was, I met so many people. Actually, Nick, I met you through there.
Yeah, that is how
I met you. And Sean, remember? Like, I met you guys through there. And, that kind of kicked it off. And how we ended up being at Assemble was, I was looking for a space for us to meet up. And Ben Hernstrom, who does the video work here, he told me about Nina. And I kind of met up with her, and I sat down with her, and I explained, you know, I wanted to do something that wasn't like pretentious. I always wanted the feel of it to be almost like a slumber party, kind of.
I should have worn my fucking pajamas.
To have people feel comfortable and to come in and like meet each other and sort of, I think as artists, a lot of us are so isolated that when you get together with other people, it's a good way to have, you know, new ideas and be inspired by other people. So that's kind of the whole idea. I'm the last person that would be organizing something, actually. I'm pretty introverted, and but it was something that I kind of wanted. I wanted to hear from these people because we have such a talented, I mean, there's so many talented artists here. It's kind of ridiculous, especially cartoonists. It's really ridiculous, actually, the talent here.
How involved were you in the Pittsburgh arts community before you started running the artist meetup group?
I've always been there. I just haven't been very, I go through periods of being very antisocial and then being very social.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Like, I'll go through,
disappear for a few months.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. Like, I've always been that way. Even when I was younger, I would travel and I would disappear for, like, weeks at a time. So that's just kind of my thing. But, I mean, honestly, like, I got involved, like, with meeting all the cartoonists through Ed Piskor here.
Oh, wait, hold on. Is somebody playing with something?
Yeah, I was.
Okay,
sorry.
Stop it.
Sorry.
Come on.
But he actually introduced me to a lot of the cartoonists at the luncheon. I went to the luncheon at Dee's, and I met, you know, Jim Rugg, Jason Lex, Rob Rogers, like all those guys. And that actually kind of was a huge motivation for me to start working more, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So it has been very, like, it's been a good thing for me, these like artist get-togethers, because it motivates me to work more.
Yeah, I guess that's maybe like their primary benefit. I like the way you say it. It's just like it's a really motivational thing to have in your life. Because when you go and you see what other people are doing, I don't know if competition is the right word, but for me, it's sort of an inspiration to learn from what other people are doing, but also be like, oh man, they're doing something cool. I want to do something cool too, you know?
Exactly.
It's almost like a self-competition. Like, now that I know somebody out there is doing something like that, then I can set a goal for myself to do something like that.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you just don't want to have these meetings anymore? Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the prospect of organizing people and, I don't know, the idea of just going out and listening to people, I don't know, talk about art? Is it ever too much for you, is I guess what I'm wondering?
I mean, I always get nervous, like, when I'm driving there. I'm always like, is this going to go okay? But no, I mean, I think what I really would like to do is have not just have the artist meetup and maybe do something, like, I'm kind of talking to Nina about organizing some free drawing things where people come and we just like draw. Like, I would really like to have people making work with each other. I think that's kind of an interesting idea. Like, I went to Seth Clark had this thing where you go and you just make collages. Sean, did you go to that at Assemble? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Barely go to Assemble now. I live out in the sticks.
Okay. But they had, like, you walk in and there was music and beer and they just had, like, he had piles of, like, newspapers and photos and just all these piles of things, and we were making collages together. And I actually normally don't like to make work with other people around, but I found it to be really, like, an interesting vibe. And I'd like to do something like that where people come and, you know, work on things together and see kind of what happens. But no, I mean, I like doing it. I think it's needed.
Yeah.
In the city. Yeah. I think it's, I don't know.
I definitely agree. I think it's a very great group, and it's very informative and great.
I found that before I was doing community stuff with other comics people, I didn't understand maybe how universal some of the things I was struggling with just generally as an artist, how universal those things were. And it was kind of nice to see other people struggling with the same thing.
Yeah.
At the same time, I also learned that, man, like, you know, these artists out there, especially these cartoonists, some of them are just so technically adept and clever and involved in so many different things that it almost, like, is a little bit discouraging sometimes to see the great things that people are doing and then be like, oh my God, I'm still, like, fucking around just trying to, like, doodle on this one page, you know, and this guy's, like, you know, drawing with both hands, like, upside down and, you know, like, whatever. It can be daunting.
I think that's, like, such a good, you know, that's one of the things I've noticed with people, though. Like, I think, like, the idea of comparing yourself, I think, is the quickest way to misery. Like, I've noticed that, like, some of my friends, when they compare themselves to each other, like, what they've accomplished at a certain age or what, you know, like, that's the quickest way. So I try to, like, not do that. Like, compare where I'm at as an artist or compare my art to anybody else's. I try to just do, I don't know, because what if that one doodle on the page is really interesting and that's where you need to be? That's where you need to be at the moment, you know? That's kind of how I try to look at things, because I don't know.
I think that's a really wise viewpoint. I mean, my natural envy and ego sort of get in the way of me doing that easily. but I like the sound of it.
Actually, I have to kind of admit to that, too. I have a bad problem with comparison.
It. It took me years to figure out how to sort of, like, calm down a lot of the things in my head that were, you know, negative and not good for me, essentially. I'm still working on it all the time, but that's one like very obvious way, though, I've seen to be unhappy is to compare yourself. But maybe it does motivate too, I don't know.
I think it does to a degree. I mean, something that's great about the meetings that you hold, and I can't say that this is the way for a lot of artist groups that I've met up with, your group has people from all levels of success and with all levels of ability. And it's a really interesting environment because you might have somebody who's, you know, the fucking shit in their field. And then you got somebody else who's like just started in their medium in the past few months, you know? So it's like, it's a really wide range of experience. And I find that interesting. Whereas when I go to, let's say, an artist group like a Dr. Sketchy's, well, there might be a somewhat varying level of skill in terms of the artists that are drawing there. For the most part, I feel like it's just kind of like illustrators of a similar vein. It's rare when you get somebody who's working outside of the established sort of like, you know, sort of like moderate level that most people going to Dr. Sketchy's are working at. And because of that, I used to go to Dr. Sketchy's, and I'm not much of an illustrator. I don't particularly enjoy drawing that much. I just happen to like comics and cartoons a lot. So I try to draw as much as I'm able to force myself to. And at first it was cool to go there and say hi to people, meet people. But then when I realized I had all these resources open to me in terms of artist gatherings, in particular groups like yours, where all different kind of artists were getting together and talking about all sorts of stuff. And there was a wide range of, you know, success and abilities there. Dr. Sketchy's just seemed really boring to me because it was a lot of other people that were like myself. And it was cool to go somewhere, or better than me, and it was cool to go somewhere different where it was like I could take my cartooning experience and apply it and maybe present a piece of knowledge to somebody that did something totally different and they could get something out of it in a much deeper way than I was able to be like, oh, dude, I really like the way you drew that face. Check out the way I drew this face. You know, it's like, I don't know. In that respect, I feel like groups that are so tightly focused are sometimes boring, whereas because yours is a widespread group of artists, it becomes a lot more rewarding.
Well, I never... Well, go ahead, Sean.
No, I was just going to comment on the Dr. Sketchy thing. How, I mean, you go to Doc Sketchy to do some life drawing. I mean, I guess I can see what you were talking about. I don't know. I guess I didn't really have too much of a point besides that.
You're just saying it was different for you, basically.
Well, I personally, I like going to life drawing classes. Like, I've liked life drawing ever since college. I actually kick myself that I don't go to more. And, I mean, I always got stuff out of it. To tell you the truth, I think I always wanted to try to find other better life drawing classes. Maybe because I'm not too hip on the themes thing. And I'm like, you know, I'd rather just draw like a nude or someone that's wearing tights so I can see the form instead of all these clothes or weird get-ups. And I'm like, meh. I mean, it's entertaining, though. Don't get me wrong. Joe at the Toonzeum actually makes it very entertaining with his prizes and his ringmaster flair. I guess I didn't have too much of a point there, so I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're not interrupting. You're part of this discussion.
I guess it's more of an opinion than another point, I guess.
That's okay.
It was sound in my head. I felt like there was something there.
I feel like there was, too. It was there. It was there.
So, yeah, I would like to go to those. Like, I haven't gone yet, but check it out.
It's sporadic. Like I don't hear about them until like the day after, you know, and everyone's like, it was really great there. And I'm like, there was a Dr. Sketchy's.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you dig like life drawing class, if you ever took them, I don't know if you ever went to school for drawing or art, but I mean, if you took life drawing class, you'll probably like it. Okay. I guess it's kind of like, I don't know. I hate to say like Rocky Horror meets anatomy, but
ooh.
That a little bit, because I mean shit, I just said his name, Joe tries to make it like this really interesting thing, and you know, he's dancing around on the stage and like, hey, and for our next guest we got this, you know, and a woman will come up and, you know, he'll give like a theme, and or I guess the entire thing is like a theme. So I think the last time it was like Dr. Sketchy's gangsta party or something like that. I don't know.
Well, Dr. Sketchy's is one that our listeners in cities other than Pittsburgh will be able to relate to, because that's kind of like a national you know, American national phenomenon in a lot of the bigger cities in the U.S. But something like Jessica's group is very locally focused, which was something that I found rewarding about it, because it wasn't just about bringing local artists together, but it was about discussing their experiences as artists working within a specific community, which is, I think, maybe the number one, in my mind, reason for you. If you're listening to this at home and you're a cartoonist and you're sitting on your ass and you're like, I don't want to go to these meetings. I'm not going to get a lot out of it. You know, maybe I just write comics. Maybe I just color comics. Even if you just do one part of the process, you know, something you're going to get out of it is learning more about how to integrate with your local community as an artist. And that can be really rewarding.
Yeah, definitely. It really is. It's because, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm fumbling over words all of a sudden. Jessica, do you plan on, like, keeping it, getting back on schedule with these? There was a bit of a hiatus, and I understand that you're busy the last couple of months.
Yeah, it's, it should be actually every 6 weeks is what we're looking at. So not necessarily monthly, but as close to monthly as I can do with other things going on. So I'm actually working on getting the next one together. So it will be regular, and I'm just going to continue to do them, to be honest. So
what do you guys think about stuff like, and this is something that probably a lot of people will relate to listening to this, stuff like almost social artist gatherings, where you're not necessarily there to talk about being an artist, but things that happen at a comic shop, things that happen for us in Pittsburgh, spoiled because of the Toonzeum, a cartoon arts museum, you know, gatherings like at a place there where it's not so much about what work you're doing, but just hanging out with other people who appreciate the art that you make. What do you guys think about those? Do you feel like those have added to your development as artists?
I don't know about development. It just makes you know that there's other people with the same interest, except you can have a bottle of beer. I kind of wish I knew more of them, like just having like a drink and draw,
mm-hmm.
or even just drink and just have other artists there.
Like, do you feel like, have you made opportunities for yourself through networking and things like that?
I'm a horrible networker.
Yeah, networking is, for me, it's, I never really set out to, I don't know, I'm pretty bad at networking, actually.
I can't remember people's names. I always remember people's faces. I know when I run into somebody at a function, their face looks familiar to me, because I know I've met them, but their name always goes blank. I don't know why. I guess I'm just horrible with names. So I'll have to figure out some sort of like, I don't know, some sort of exercise where I say someone's name like 3 times and memorize their face. But then that can be kind of creepy.
I think though, like when it comes to social, like when you're interacting with people, and a lot of the times when I'm interacting with people, we always end up actually talking about art or talking about what we do and like our influences. And so I don't know, it's kind of funny, like you're talking about just hanging out and that not being the topic, but a lot of the times it actually ends up being the topic when I'm around other artists, because that's just what we love and it's so much a part of, you know, our lives.
Yeah. You know, speaking of you hanging out with your friends, something I know that you've organized on a much smaller scale, and I don't know how many times you did this, maybe only a couple of times. You got some of your friends together, female cartoonists together, and had like I don't know if it was a drawing night or a drawing day, whatever you'd want to call it, but that's something you've done before, right? And that was you that organized that, correct?
Yeah. I would make a ton of food and have invite all the lady cartoonists I know, and we would just sit, hang out, and draw and talk a lot about, you know, work and a lot about, you know, just our lives in general. But that's something I really, really, it's a different sort of atmosphere, I think. Like, I think for me, cartooning and comics, like, I'm so new to them. And when I started going to comic shops, I noticed kind of a misogynistic sort of tone to some of them. Mm-hmm. And that really sort of turned me off in a way. And I kind of didn't really come around to the scene until I discovered, you know, more indie comics and indie, you know. But yeah, we've been doing that. I actually hope to start that again. I just moved into a new place and I'm renovating a studio space. So when I'm done here, I'll be able to actually have people over and not be embarrassed about my place. So we'll definitely start that up again. But yeah, it's cool to draw with other ladies.
So something I can kind of present as a contrast to all the stuff we've been talking about so far. I just moved to a new city within the past month, and I've been to one comic shop here, and I've looked at a few arts places, but I haven't gone to the local, what do they call it? Second Saturdays is what they do here in Long Beach. Is there kind of like
what's
their
second Saturdays?
It's like their gallery crawl night, like First Fridays that they have in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And I haven't really been to any of that stuff yet, and I haven't really made an effort to get involved in anything community-wise. And I truly miss my Pittsburgh community, I'm like afraid to dip my toes into a new one because I know that it's going to be so different, and I'm sort of dreading the culture shock of entering a new artist community.
Just do it.
I know. I didn't necessarily have anywhere to go with that other than, like, you know, I'm in a different situation now where before I would be at pretty much every community function I could go to. Now I'm sort of dreading the idea of going to one.
I have
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to tell you, I have a friend at LA and I'll hook you guys up, and I'm sure he could give you some suggestions of places to go. He's lived in LA his whole life, so.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that I don't want to meet people. I think more than anything else, I just don't feel like telling people what I do.
You don't have to.
Yeah, well, you kind of do. Because this sort of comes up in conversation.
Do comic.
You know, it's like, so what do you do? Really? You know, it's like you have to start from scratch in creating your presentation of yourself. And for somebody like me, I find that very stressful.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I couldn't picture you doing that.
Way to judge me, Sean.
I just figured you just show up in the room, you're like, boom, pop a collar. You're like, yeah, I'm Nick Marino, man. I do comics. It's what I do. Here's my lady fair. She does comics with me. Someone pass me a mic. And then, like, you get a mic and you just drop it. It's what I do.
No, that's the way it goes normally. Yeah.
Well, it is. It's a vulnerable thing to when you're in like a completely new space. It's like that is a very vulnerable thing to go out there when you don't know people. It's not easy. It's always anxiety provoking, I think.
Yeah, and the thing I hate about it the most is that it's vulnerable, but only internally. Do you know what I mean? Because people who they're not really thinking very much about the things you're worried about when you're in that situation. You know, I know they're not, because when I meet somebody new, I honestly don't even really think about them at all for the most part.
Oh, really?
I get to know them. Yeah. I mean, I might notice somebody's new, or I might want to try and give them an opportunity to talk, you know, more than I would somebody else, but I don't really, you know, I might even forget they're there. I don't mean that as a mean way, as a mean thing. It's just like, you know, I don't know that I have am able to articulate what I'm thinking that well, but yeah.
Here's the mic, man. Just drop it.
For both of you, what have been some of your favorite moments of being involved in, as Dan phrased it, external art support groups?
What do you mean?
What are some of your favorite memories of of these group meetings that you've hosted or other groups that you may have been to, things that have really, you know, benefited you or stuck with you?
Oh, you know what came to mind? This is totally not about what benefits. This was just on the first meetup, there were like probably like 30 people there. And there were a lot of people there that I really respected as artists and just, you know, a lot of friends and stuff. And this one lady came there to talk about grants, and she was really nice, but she was very, I tend to not be very like loud, or my voice is kind of light. And we took a break for a second. And then when we came back, she, you know, I was people were just talking and they wouldn't stop, you know, talking. And I was getting a little uncomfortable because I didn't want to like yell. And she just like screamed, "Jessica wants to start now," like really loud. And I just was so embarrassed. Like, I just felt like a 5-year-old little kid, like just so embarrassed, because it just, and everyone got quiet. And it was just, I don't know why, that was one of my favorite moments. It was just, I don't know, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, Grant's lady was kind of boring.
Nick! She was nice. She brought brochures and stuff.
Oh, yeah. If you're bringing brochures, nice, you're automatically going towards the bottom of my list.
She had information. Very nice information.
But Jim Ruggs, probably, when he, I was really nervous, actually, because I really adore Jim and I respect him a lot. And I was extremely nervous when he was coming to speak. And I just found like his talk to be so inspiring. And I actually had one girl, an artist, come up to me later, and she was like, a few days later, and she's like, "I've been working a lot." She's like, I was so motivated after the talk. So that was probably one of my favorite like talks that we've had, is Jim speaking, actually. Mm-hmm. But Sean, what about you? I don't know.
One comes to mind. I think it was your first one. It was after everybody kind of split off in their own factions. We're all just kind of like talking amongst each other. It's like right after artist meetup. I think it was Nick, Seth, Ronzoli, and I were all in the corner, because I think we ended up being the only cartoon guys there except for Mav.
No, and, Ed and Nate were there.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember Nate, but Ed was, I do remember, well, Ed put us, or he didn't really pull us to a side, but he came over and started talking to us three and giving us pointers on like what to do and stuff. And that was actually kind of cool, you know. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I didn't really follow through on his advice, because he was like, "Yeah, you should make like an ash can and like send them out to all your artists, people that you admire." And I was like, "Yeah, that sounds like a great idea." And I was so motivated. And then like a week later, I was like, "Nah, that sounds hard." But I do appreciate that to this day, because it's like, that's actually kind of cool, you know. He took the time to give us that advice. He didn't have to. He could have been like, "I'm a rock star," but no, that was kind of cool.
Something that's cool about, oh, hold on, ow, oh, I just got this horrible pain in my stomach, ow, stretching out. Okay, there we go. Yeah,
I
think I'm all right.
Say, like, really an hurt. Alien's coming out of your belly.
Aww.
It felt like it was for a second. Something that's cool about cartooning and the comic arts is that it's a remote profession. You know, you work from home and you don't necessarily have to live in any one place. So there's a good chance wherever you live, unless you're in maybe North or South Dakota, where people live like, you know, 100 miles apart to the next house or whatever, there's a good chance that there are some professionals who live somewhere around you, and they're probably interested in getting involved in these community groups, because it's a really solitary job. You know, you're at home, you're working by yourself, you know, you're trapped in your own head. And when you have an opportunity to get out and meet up with other artists, especially cartoonists, you're going to take advantage of that, I find, for the most part. So like, it's cool because you can run into the Jim Ruggs and Ed Piskers in your city and pick their brains and find out more about their path, you know, as artists that can maybe help you learn some things about your own.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like that's something that people often overlook. You know, they think that you know, maybe all these comic book artists or cartoonists live in New York City or something like that. And that's just not the case. They're everywhere, you know. I think for me, my favorite experience I ever had at one of your artist meetups, and there's a lot because I've really enjoyed myself, but the one that stuck out to me the most because it helped me learn something was when there was a woman who was talking about her art and how she hasn't really been sharing it with anybody, and she wasn't sure that she's at the level she wanted to be at. And she said that her goal in creating this art was to access like this other reality. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't sure when she was going to get there. She was like, I just don't know when I'm going to be creating. Like, I don't know when I'm finally going to break through, like when I'm going to be having this breakthrough, be this artist that I want to be. And something I thought in my mind, well, something I also said out loud, you know, I was like, well, if your goal is to access another world with your art and you're currently creating art to do that, maybe you've already done it. Like, maybe you've already achieved that goal. And what that did for me, and it was weird because it was one of those moments where, like, you say something, but you're like, I said that? You know, like, that sounds like a weird thing for me to say. But what it taught me, which is something that I've always kind of struggled with, is the idea of making art for yourself. I can't say I've ever really been an artist who's made much art for myself. I've typically focused on mediums that are very much about creating and then sharing, be it comics, podcasts. Especially podcasting. I can't imagine podcasting and just listening back to it myself. That would be really awkward. and other things like that. And what it taught me is that, you know, there are people out there who are creating art for themselves on a number of different levels. And I might not even realize it, but I might already be successful in that area of creating art for myself. I know it sounds weird to hear me say that. It probably didn't make any sense, I guess.
No, it actually made a lot of sense.
And it's just strange because it was like I never would have gotten that perspective on it. I never would have had those words come out of my mouth unless I'd put myself in a situation where my conceptions of myself were being tested. So that was super cool.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Actually, that reminds me of I really dug that one artist meetup where it might have been that same one where that lady was talking about making new art to access a new world. Maybe not. I think it was the one with how to make money. And I kind of like that because I think that's how I was trying to do. I was trying to set up some sort of like event with Assemble so they can like have like stuff. That didn't make any sort of sense.
You mean so they could make some money?
Yeah. Because I think Nina raised her hand, and I thought that she asked, like, well, I'm trying to figure out how to make money, how to keep this place alive, and, you know, we're all getting different suggestions. Yeah. And then I was like, you should totally do a movie night. And I actually kind of liked that opportunity. That was pretty fun because she offered it to me after that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Jody was speaking that night about her experience with grants and things that she was
not the grant lady we were talking about before, by the way.
No.
Grant lady was very different.
Hey, baby. Thanks for listening to the Audio Shopper. All material copyright
2013.
All rights reserved. For more, visit us at www.audioshocker.com or email us at audio@audioshocker.com. All of the views expressed on the show are solely the views of those expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Audio Shocker. The Audio Shocker is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. Our theme songs are performed by Nick Furious, whose music can be found
at nickfurious.com.
All right, well, I feel this trending towards dangerous NPR territory, so I feel like we've got to wrap this up. In conclusion, do you guys feel like you have anything you'd like to offer about your experiences with artist groups?
I would say if you have an idea to do something, please do it because I will come to it. And chances, if you have, you know, an idea for a group, I think it's definitely worth trying. So
I say don't, if you're like, I'd like to do a group like that, but there's no community. Well, you know why there's no community? Because nobody's doing it. So if you do it, you will build the community, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a lot of responsibility either. You know, like, you know, you create a date and a time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you need to find a space that's pretty big. But once you have those nailed down, you just, you know, promote it, but you got to let it kind of do its own thing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, nerds, you guys both took my answers.
Oh, sorry.
I will just say go to them so you don't feel isolated.